this last new variant, because if we have large populations that are not vaccinated, then there is the risk that we will see new variants pop out, and they will continue to spread across the world, as we've seen with this virus has
been. Oh, shit, it's him.
So the first COVAX provided dose.
On the computer land, to everyone in class, I handed out a piece of paper with these three questions that you can see on the PowerPoint. I'm going to give you the next 5 minutes to answer these three questions. I have pens for those of you in the assembly. You can share. So if you need a pen, raise your hand. Anybody need a pen? You can borrow my pens as long as I get them back. So you have 5 minutes to answer these questions. It's okay if you don't remember anything. Just do the best you can to put down what you remember. Anything that you remember. And we're gonna start from there. First taking 5 minutes, Dave, and filling these out. Yeah, but Dave has a pen. Why would I doubt that Dave has a pen? So everything you remember about numbers, who do we believe the author is? Probably you can answer that. The order. Any stories that you remember? What is the purpose of numbers? Anything else that you feel is needed in there? If you don't remember anything, that's okay. Hopefully in the next 3 months we can change that. If we don't, then I probably didn't do my job. Maybe 5 minutes isn't enough. So I'm going to stay in the Daniel bubble so I can take my mask off. Hopefully that's okay with everybody. Number two, again, maybe today, off the top of your head, that's a difficult question to answer. Hopefully in the next 3 months, we're going to fix that. And then the third one, hopefully we get to today, we'll see. Learner, we're just taking a few minutes and off the top of our head answering those questions. It's good to see you this morning, Learner. Richard's here. It's good to see Richard. First time in how long, Richard? Since March? Yeah, fair. You look better in person, Richard.
Well, I got my 2 shots and my 2 weeks are over, so I decided
good. Good. I'll give you about one more minute here. Again, if you remember a ton, that's awesome. If you don't, that's okay too. I'm not going to be able to stay in this bubble. Okay. I'm still safe over here. Okay, 30 seconds, wrap up your thoughts. We'll start walking together this morning. All right, we're gonna start with a prayer, and I'll lead that prayer if you guys will bow with me. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, thankful for the opportunity this day to be here in this place and to study together. Appreciate your word that you have provided for us, that we can go to it, we can learn from it. We pray that you would be with us as we begin another study at this place, that if it be your will that we continue, that we gain from the things that you have put forth in the Old Testament that you recorded for us that might be used for our benefit, that we might better serve you today and tomorrow as we walk in this physical life, that we might be making our decisions and might be shining our light in such a way that we ourselves are good and proper in your eyes, and that we are also teaching and preaching to others. We're also thankful for the younger classes, the teachers who have started it this morning, the first day of this new quarter, to put the energy and effort that they have to teach the young people as well. It's such a blessing to have those back there and kids willing to listen and to learn. We pray that you would bless us all and help us all. Help us to clear our minds this morning, that we can focus on the things which are before us, and that we can leave this morning with a little bit more knowledge and gain from the time that we've set aside. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to get to those in just a second. We're studying Numbers. Hopefully I've been up in front of you guys enough to know that, right? I'm Tim, by the way. I think I know everybody. But you guys are in this together with me for the next 3 months. I don't know how it's going to go. I have a couple ideas. I think most of you guys know that I was teaching the same class to the young people the last 3 months. But I'm sure the topics that we covered there and the topics that we're going to cover here are going to take us in different directions. So we'll see. The curriculum committee does an amazing job. And our theme for the year is to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Pretty good book to think about trusting. I think it also fits with last year's theme too, which is cleanse your heart. And so as we walk through the book of Numbers together, hopefully we can pull that out and we can see that, we can understand that. I put up here, God's people must trust him, moving ahead by faith, if they are to claim his promised land. Do we have a promised land? What is our promised land? Heaven. Okay. I think I've admitted in front of you guys already that it's been a long time since I looked in Numbers. And I am by no means an Old Testament guru. I like the Old Testament, and I try to learn as much as I can. But we can't all be Scott Boucher, who knows every little piece like he did. So it's been encouraging to me to be able to spend the 3 months prior to this class with those young people. And then hopefully, as we mold the class this morning and forward, we can all benefit from that. But there's so many things in Numbers that talk about the Israelites. And the Israelites, it was not by accident the things that they were doing. God is a God of planning, of design. And we are under the same God. We serve the same God. And we live in a society that likes to take this idea and take this mentality, well, God is just God, and in the end, it's all going to work out. My hope is that as we look through Numbers, we're going to see that's the opposite of the way God deals with things. There's some laws. I know you guys have had the benefit of spending the last 3 months in Leviticus. I have not. So you are much stronger than I am on the laws and things like that. So if you can bring that through, or stuff that you guys talked about with Daniel, bring them out. I would love to talk about those things. And we'll see how it goes. Okay. All right. The first question was this question. Anybody want to share anything? What'd you write down? John, what do you got?
I had two numbers during the 40-year period.
Okay, they took two census, two numbering of the people. Absolutely true. The book starts with that, and then in the middle of the book, it happens again. Good, I like that. Definitely. Why was the book named Numbers? Because they numbered the people. Good, I like that. What else? Oh, I'm supposed to be writing these down. What else? Anybody got anything else? Dennis.
Gives us a lot of the laws for sacrifices.
Okay.
Including the scapegoat. And gives us the story of Balaam and Balak. And the concept of the Jubilee.
What happened with Balaam and Balak?
What happened to them?
Well, yeah. What's the part of that story that the kids always remember? Do you remember? Yeah, the talking donkey. You guys remember the talking donkey story? We get to talk about the talking donkey in Numbers. Okay, I like all of that. What else? Anybody remember anything else?
Yeah, they weren't allowed to number.
Who wasn't allowed to number?
Sin. David and other kings.
I don't remember that. The Levites, did they number the Levites? They didn't number the Levites.
They were called out and they were set apart.
Okay, called out and set apart. Why? Do you remember why? You guys probably talked about it, I think. Yeah, they were Moses' help, right? The Levites were called out. Polly, you were going to say something?
I was just going to say that Miriam and Aaron were speaking against Moses. They were
Yeah, do you guys remember that story? Miriam and Aaron, we're going to get to that one down the line. We're not going to go through this book verse by verse by verse. I hope to cover topic by topic by topic. Sometimes it will lean itself best to verse by verse by verse. But we're going to get to stories like that. There's some stories that we need to look at a couple different chapters to pick up the story. So we will work through that as we go. Today and then Wednesday, Lord willing, will probably be more just kind of an introductory phase. And then next week, we're going to hit the ground running. While I'm thinking about it, and for you, those of you out at Zoom, on the bottom of your sheet, what does it say? Read Numbers 13 and 14. I've been talking to Daniel a lot about how to start this class and where to start. And whether it's wise or not, I guess we'll end up seeing. There's one story right in the middle of this book that is kind of the cusp of the book. What story is it? Take a guess. The spies. It's the spies. I want to start with that story because I believe that that story sitting in the middle of this book, everything that we're going to read leading up to that story is important for a certain generation. And then everything after that story to a certain point is important to a different generation. And so you have the story of the spies, which is probably a very familiar story for most of you, sitting right in the middle of this book. And I want to take one class, maybe two classes, to look at that story first. Just pull a few things out of that story. And then we'll go back to the beginning and work towards that story, referencing it. And then after that story. So in this class, we're not going to do a ton of you read this verse and you read this verse and you read this verse. It's going to be a lot of, hey, what did you read over the past few days? So I encourage you guys to read. I will do my best to keep up on where you should be at and try to keep the class paced where we're at. I thought about doing a whole 3-month schedule, but I don't know how timing and things are going to go. So for now, bear with me a little bit on that. But for Wednesday, hopefully we're going to get far enough tonight that we can start chapter 13 and chapter 14 on Wednesday. So for Wednesday, read chapter 13 and chapter 14 of Numbers. Okay, anything else? Who wrote Numbers?
Moses.
At least that's what we believe, right? Order? Is Numbers chronological? To the best of our knowledge and best we can tell, it seems that Numbers is written, this happened. Now, when you're covering the laws and you're covering the things like that, those may have been out of order. But it seems like it starts in the very first chapter talking about how much time has been. And it seems that as Numbers progresses, it is written somewhat in order, as best we can tell. So I think that's important. A lot of books aren't written that way. They're kind of all over the place as far as timing goes. So something to keep in mind. Purpose, did we talk about purpose yet? Anybody put anything down for the purpose of Numbers? Mike.
Like Leviticus, I think there's a large focus on God's covenant plan with his people, establishing his laws with his people. Stories like the spy story and some of these others get to the fact that even though we mess up on a regular basis, God does not give up on us. They messed up a lot. And it shows, even especially in the spy story, it shows that God does not give up on his people.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. Man, we're going to hit that a lot. If you didn't hear Mike, the main thing he hit was that God had a plan. God had a promised land for the children of Israel. They messed up way too many times. That land did not no longer exist. The older generation didn't get to enter into the land, but God didn't stop the promise. God had promised to the fathers, Abraham, that there's this land and your descendants are going to inherit it. And no matter how many times the children of Israel messed up, there's still the children of Israel that inherit the promised land. How does that apply to us today? That's exactly what we're talking about through heaven, right? We make mistakes too. Patty, did you have something?
I was just gonna say that God repeats continually, not just in Numbers, but throughout the Old Testament, that he is a just God and a merciful God, which is really what Mike was saying.
Yeah.
But that principle is carried through in the New Testament as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's a God of consequences, is he not? We're going to see it. And we talked about it last Sunday. Moses himself faced consequences. Does that mean that if we face consequences in life, we don't inherit anything from God? No. But if God puts something in front of us and says it's going to happen, it's going to happen, period. And we're going to see that a lot. Larry.
We got to be faithful. Promise, we have to follow take the faithfulness aspect.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we good? I just have a bunch of random stuff I want to read this morning. If there's someone out there who wants to read, that's fine. I think that's big enough. Is that big enough? Mike, do you want to read that first slide?
While it is a fairly short distance from Egypt to Israel, it took the ancient Jews 40 years to get there. The book of Numbers tells why. The Israelites' disobedience and lack of faith caused God to make them wander in the desert until all the people of that generation had died. With a few important exceptions, the book draws its name from the census made of the people, a necessary step toward their organization and future government.
Okay, so most of this we kind of already touched on. This right here is important. We're going to talk about this probably this morning, maybe every single day that we're in this class. Why did they wander after the spies? It's so that the older generation could die off. Right? We're going to hit that. We're going to talk about that and why that might be important. Next one. Numbers might be a bleak account of the Israelites' stubbornness if it were not outweighed by God's faithfulness and production. I think we've talked about that a little bit already. This is the fourth book in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. It's a historic account, but also teaches important lessons about God fulfilling his promises. We've touched that, so we'll leave that. Okay, chronological setting. Again, I'm just going to randomly run through these things. I want to touch these things before we get into the book, but Passover occurred on the 14th day of the first month of the year, and the nation departed from Egypt on the 15th day of the first month. Just chronologically, that's not in Numbers. That's before we get to Numbers, okay? But the Israelites leaving Egypt. Tabernacle was erected at Mount Sinai exactly 1 year after the Exodus. So we're 1 year after the Exodus from Passover in Egypt with Pharaoh on the first day of the second year. Again, in Exodus, we don't need to go look at those, but 1 month later, the nation prepared to leave Sinai for the promised land. That's about, we're sitting right in that window right there when we start Numbers. So we're 1 year removed from the Israelites leaving Egypt. They're at the bottom of Mount Sinai, wherever that might be. We can argue about that for days. But, you know, a lot of people think it's down in that peninsula. I don't know. There's a lot of people that don't think it's down in that peninsula. I don't think it really matters the geographical location of Mount Sinai. But the Israelites are sitting down wherever Mount Sinai was. And think about the things that happened on Mount Sinai, Moses and the Ten Commandments and all those things, right? On the 12th day of the second month of the second year. So again, this is right in Numbers. The cloud was lifted from over the tabernacle of the testimony, and the sons of Israel went out on their journey from the wilderness of Sinai. So that's in Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 14 is when the spies go into the land. So the beginning part of the book is sitting there, Mount Sinai. They're getting things that they need. God, I believe, is preparing them for their inheritance into the promised land. I think we need to, although we're starting with the spy story, I don't want to lose track of the sight. Lose track of the sight, that's not proper. But I don't want to lose in our mind, because I'm guilty of this sometimes, maybe you aren't. But we already know the story, yes? We already know the story. And we know the story that this first spies, they don't properly trust in God and they don't inherit the land.
That's right.
But was it God's intention for that older generation to not inherit the land? I think I asked that properly. Did God intend for the older generation to enter the promised land? Absolutely. Absolutely. So as we start in Numbers and we read the first part of Numbers, I think we need to keep in mind, God is preparing those people to inherit the promised land, period. Period. So bear with me that we're starting right in the middle, but I don't want to be like, oh, well, whatever. In God's eyes, that people is going to inherit the promised land, and he is preparing them to do so. They act when the spies come out of the land. John.
God's preparing them. That's why they did that first number to see how many people he had encountered.
I agree. We're going to get to that. That was question number three, right? We're going to get to that in a minute. Question number three. But there's a purpose.
And also, it's not like a camping trip where you stay at this place tonight and someplace else tomorrow. They stayed in.
Yeah,
that's
a good point. Did you guys hear John? When I was a kid, I'm like, man, they were like moving every night. The cloud was going, and why were they moving? They weren't. The cloud moved. Yes, they followed the cloud, but they were in places for a while. That's a good point to think about it. They weren't moving every night. At times, they moved pretty quickly. But, I mean, whenever they got to Sinai, it's a year since they left Egypt. So, Patty.
In addition to that, what John said, the last several years, I don't know how many years, but they were on the Transjordan. They were just across the river from Canaan.
Yeah.
But they couldn't go in because God wouldn't allow it.
Yeah.
They look over there, probably they were that close.
Right. Yeah, and again, I didn't put a map up because there's a lot of maps that take, oh, the Israelites went this way. We really don't know, so I stayed away from the map. But that, no matter where Sinai is, no matter where all that is, it's not that much land. It's not. It's not. Mike.
To your point about the older generation being in God's plans to initially take them in, it reminded me of in Exodus chapter 2, where he's basically saying to them that, you know, the king of Egypt died, verse 24. So God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's covenant with his people, his promise to his people, was to continue his, you know, the fulfillment of it that leads all the way to the time of Jesus and this dispensation right now. So, yes, he absolutely intended them, but like there were consequences for their for their complaints, their groanings, their lack of faith.
Which, again, I think we can absolutely think about today and learn from through today. God's promise is there. It's our responsibility to act on it. It is. So good. Okay, this last one says, Deuteronomy opens with a reference to the first day of the 11th month of the 40th year, 38 years, 8 months, and 10 days after the nation departed Sinai, which again, we always say 40 years, but when we get there, we'll read it's 40 years from when they started the journey. So that's why there's not quite 40 years there. Therefore, Numbers covers a period known as the wilderness wanderings, which lasted 38 years, 9 months, and 10 days, which again, yes, it was 40 years, but Numbers covers from that Sinai and beyond. We're missing that first part. Okay? Questions so far? Thoughts? Chad?
One thing, too, not to give these older generation an excuse, but those that I've known that have been there in the desert where they were roaming, it was a miserable place. And it was, you know, I've heard people say, I would have been complaining too, you know.
Yes.
But they failed to put their trust in God.
Yes.
In that situation.
Yes. That's a great point. We talked about that a lot with the boys. I never know the right word, sympathy or empathy. Someone can correct me, but you feel for them when they're, I mean, you can understand where they're coming from. And the older generation, we're going to talk about it, but the older generation, where were they just? This is 1 year removed from, yes, they were slaves, but they're in a pretty good place. They had it pretty good. And yeah, they're taken out of slavery, but it's like, okay, you're going to wander in the desert and you're going to eat manna.
And they want to go back.
But isn't that our human nature? That's our human nature. The grass, what Angie, when we were, I first met her, she had a quote. I don't even remember where it was. But it said, the grass might be greener on the other side of the fence, but it still has to be mowed. Where was that?
Just as hard to mow.
Oh, just as hard to mow. She had it written somewhere. I don't know. It's true, right? We always think, oh, it's so much better.
Is that the source? Get off my lawn?
I don't know. Don't you guys know grass grows by the inch and is killed by the foot? Stay off my lawn. There was a hand, Carol.
We don't even left on Christmas for 3 days.
It's funny, but we live in a society that wants the next thing. Right? And wants things that we can have and that we can hold. All they had to do was trust in God. The rest was going to be taken care of itself. It's a very good point. Okay, some of the stuff we already looked at. Author was Moses. Date written, 1450 BC to 1410 BC, somewhere in there. Written to, we've talked about this, Numbers was written to the people. Okay, this is your third question, but I threw it up here as this in the middle here. Any thoughts on this? It says Numbers begins with a numbering of the people of Israel. It's the first of two numberings of Israel. What do you think the purpose of the numbering was? John already said one thing, the army, right? What else? Is the only reason we numbered the people is so that we can figure out how many soldiers we have? What do you guys think? Social Security.
Well, they needed to organize the people too, and how many leaders they would need for each group, and how many were in each tribe, so they knew who to arrange that. In fact, they did arrange the tribes around the tabernacle also.
Right. So Patty says they needed to organize things. God's intention was for them to go into the promised land. When they got in the promised land, it was just to be like, oh, you take here and you take here and I got this and I got this. Or would it make sense that this tribe has this many people, it needs this amount of land, things like that? Would that make sense? I think it does. And not only was it done, why did they number? Maybe I didn't ask that right. Who asked them to number themselves? God did.
God.
So God was taking them towards the promised land, but put in front of them, hey, you got to figure out how many people you have too, because that matters. And again, I think that tiny little point, but God is not a God of chaos. He's not organized. And not only that, I think this is important to remember too. I know when I was a kid, oh, we get numbers. Oh, it's just a bunch of names and a bunch of numbers. The numbering of the people twice in Numbers, even the list of the numbers, was important enough for us to know about that God put it in there. There's a reason it's in there. There's a reason it's in there. What else? There's one other thing, at least I was thinking, that the numbering would do. It has to do with John.
The numbering only included 20 years of love.
True.
Didn't count women.
True.
Children. So, what numbers they give us is fighting.
True. I agree. It wasn't everybody.
No.
How about keeping track of genealogies? Was that important to God's people? Absolutely. A numbering would give you an opportunity to keep track of genealogies too. So those are the kind of things I was thinking about myself. Mike.
There's another, I think, somewhat ironic point out of this numbering that comes out too, which is the fact that, I mean, it gives the number over 600,000 fighting men. Yet, when they actually go in to take the promised land, how often does God fight for them? So in the end, hey, you're 600,000 strong, you're slaves in Egypt, and you're wandering in the wilderness because of your lack of faith. But in the end, when it comes to actually going to war, they're going to lay down for you. The walls of Jerusalem, they're going to fall. You're going to inherit the land, flowing with milk and honey. You're really not going to have to fight for it like you would have thought you would have had it not been for God. So throughout, God is with them and working with them, even though they mumble and grumble throughout.
Yeah. And we're going to see that so many times. And the people go to Moses and complain to Moses. Moses goes to God. And again, I told you last Sunday, when you get to chapter 20, I think it is, and Moses strikes the rock instead of speaks to the rock. After reading the rest of Numbers, it's like, man, Moses had a whole lot more patience than I would have. I'll tell you that much right now. And then he strikes the rock instead of speaks to the rock, and he doesn't enter into the promised land. That's not a God of, oh, well, you're going to be fine. Take it's work out your own faith with fear and trembling, right? So, anyways, was there another, Patty?
Well, one thing about that striking the rock, he also said, must we bring you water? So he elevated himself.
He did.
To God's
room. He did.
But another thing that numbering could have done when they... Jacob came into Egypt, there were only 70 people.
Yeah.
Now there's over 2 million probably. So.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. How many years were they in slavery in Egypt? Anybody remember?
400.
And Patty's right. They went into... Found on the way... Did they say 400?
430.
That doesn't say. Too much to read. What did we ever do without technology? If the Israelites just had watches that talked to them, they'd have been fine. There was 70 people when they went into slavery, and they leave. This is only 1 year removed from slavery, and the number is 603,000 of the fighting men. I don't know what number that actually means. 2 to 3 million? I don't know. Probably. That's a big number. Most of us live in this area, and we can't stand 600,000 people. Can you imagine 2 to 3 million people? Which again gets to John's point. It wasn't a move by night. It took a lot of energy and effort. But yeah, John.
Well, one thing Pharaoh had was thinking, there were a small group when they first got here. Now there's more of them than us.
Yeah.
And that's why we started getting rest.
Which again, man. Think about the plagues. The plagues in their mind basically had just happened. And now they go up to the promised land and it's like, oh, we can't take it. They're too mighty. Give me a break. Give me a break. We're going to talk about all that. Okay. I want to run through this really quick. Blah, blah, blah. I think we covered that. This is the numbering. The first one, this is the first numbering. This is the second numbering. These are the final numbers. What significance do the actual numbers have? I don't know, but I'm a numbers guy, so I like numbers. I do find it interesting that 40 years later, it's pretty much the same amount of soldiers. Completely different generation, but 38 to 40 years later, same amount of warriors. Which again, in the end, did it really matter how many soldiers there were? It's the promised land. And I also, we're not going to get into Jericho, but did they go into Jericho and like all their 601,000 men kill, take? No, what happened? They marched around the walls and the walls fell. Come on, Israelites. That's the God that we serve. They should have known better. So we're going to get into all that. Okay, themes. Rebellion against God brings bad consequences. I think we've talked about that enough this morning. Instead of believing Joshua and Caleb, the only two spies who said Israel could conquer Canaan, the people did not trust God and refused to cross into the promised land. I don't know if I like how I wrote that. I guess they sort of did refuse, but it was more a lack of trust than a we're not going to do it. But they did say they weren't going to do it. We'll get into that. For their lack of faith, they wandered 40 years in the desert until all but a few of the generation died. God does not tolerate sin. Hopefully we see that throughout this book. God, who is holy, let time in the desert take the lives of those who disobeyed him. The next generation, here's the biggest thing I think to take out of this morning that we're going to talk a lot about in the next 3 months. This statement right here. Old generation, young generation. What's the difference? Old generation served or were slaves in Egypt. Young generation, free of the influence of Egypt. They didn't know how it was in Egypt. Because their entire life, what were they doing? Wandering. So if you're in the wilderness wandering, and it's like, oh, we got this promised land, well, then that's your point of reference, right?
Yeah.
I think it makes a difference. And I think it can talk to us today when we let our own mind get in the way. And we let our own wants and desires get in the way. God let the older generation die off so that the younger generation, which was free of influence of Egypt, were prepared to separate a holy place, loyal to God today. Jesus Christ saves, but God expects us to make every effort to drive sin out of our lives. Canaan was the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jewish people grew up in numbers during their 400, or grew, sorry, in numbers 400. We talked about that in slavery. They were now strong enough with God's help to conquer and populate the promised land. Again, I think it's important to keep in mind, when they left Egypt, it was the intention of God that that generation did enter into the land of Canaan. A lot of this we've rolled through. That third one, I like that third one. To demonstrate God's faithfulness and forbearance, again, we've talked about it this morning already, but against the backdrop of Israel's unfaithfulness, rebellion, apostasy, frustration. We're going to see that all through Numbers. Israel was a frustrating group to deal with, I'm sure. And again, can you imagine being Moses? I want to get to this real quick. Three volunteers. We're going to read those three real quick. You have three volunteers. Anybody? Don't care who. Pick one. Sarah's got the first one. Terry's got the second one. Patty's got the third one.
Remember 14:21-23. But truly as I live and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I have in Egypt and in the wilderness and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers, and none of those who despise me shall see it.
Who's speaking there? God. What does God say that the people of Israel did? Put him to the test. They were testing God because they didn't have faith in God's ability to fulfill the promised land. I think that's important because I think we can test God too. I have down here, increased opportunity brings increased responsibility. Luke 12:48, we won't turn there for the sake of time. But what do we have? We have the entire Bible. We have the entire Word of God. The Israelites had the responsibility to trust in God just through what they had seen. We have the whole story. We have the entire story. What is our excuse? Terry, 20, verse 12.
Numbers 20, verse 12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them.
So again, we're pulling that right out of the middle of the context. That's the rock story. Okay? And again, Moses had done what he had done, but because he elevated himself, as Patty said, and because he didn't do the way God had intended it to be done, no promised land. That doesn't seem to me like a God who's just going to be at the end of my life, oh, well, I guess I think you got it right. Grace is just going to cover it all. I think we need to be careful with that. Patty, chapter 27, 18 to 20.
So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand upon him, and have him stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. And you shall put some of your authority on him, so that all the congregation of the sons of Israel will obey him.
And we're going to get more into that. That's when Joshua takes over as leader, or at least Moses is told. Okay, we're going to get more into that, but that's a very unique story. Okay, we're going to skip all this. This was the middle question on your sheet. We have like 3 minutes. What have we revealed about God today? Anything, I don't care. Or what did you put down that you think Numbers already did reveal about God that you remembered? Anything? John.
God expects us to obey him.
Absolutely. We've already talked that a bunch this morning. God expects us to obey him, and if we don't obey him, there is consequences, period. We're going to see that all the way through Numbers. Anybody else? Terry.
God's really specific about what he expects of his people. Back then, he gave them a very detailed outline of what the covenant was between them, what he expected of his people, and he doesn't leave us in the dark. He's very specific about how he wants to serve him,
but he doesn't do that. Yeah, I agree. And the difference in the New Testament, it's the heart. We've talked about that a lot at this location, the heart and the condition of the heart. And if he was that specific about these things, why would he change? God doesn't change. Why would he change from the New Testament? Paul, you had your hand up, and then we'll sneak out of here. God's in control. Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate your time this morning. For Wednesday, please, chapters 13 and 14. We're going to talk about that on Wednesday. Thank you.
Obedience is